Next time I will ask twice about not being able to read a word. We will, at this point, since I think it's an imposition on anyone to have to sit quiet for more than an hour, you've already been sitting here for an hour and a half, we will take a short break. However, I would urge you to come back and help me find out what this intelligence is all about. So I'll see you in about 10 minutes. Find out again, for the benefit of those who came in late, that the reason why I will have to very clearly have the question in writing or repeat it after you is because the session is being recorded for the IEEE Educational Tape Library. I have some questions up here, and I believe we will start with the first one, which was directed to Mr. Hamilton. According to your definition of intelligence, a watchdog that sends a stranger intruding upon his master's residence and attacks the stranger, it exhibits intelligence, since his decision to attack is based upon the fact of a strange scent. Please comment.
I knew I was going to get some flack on that definition. I don't think I could have come up with one that I wouldn't have. And in this case, I think it obeys. Certainly, hardware can be nowhere close to the biological intelligence that we find about us every day. And under that definition, yeah, I guess he is intelligent. It's a very simple kind of intelligence, and the point I was trying to make was that this simple level of intelligence will do a lot for you. He's intelligent.
Preserve your property in that case, I guess. Here's a question directed to Mr. Blackwell. Is the Dumont automatic oscilloscope on the market yet? I guess this is a yes, no answer.
Yes and no. It is on the market, but it is not available as a single item at the present time. All of the present work that is being done on it is for buyers who are buying, more than one. So it is not yet available as an individual item, but it will be at sometime in the future, probably around the first of next year.
Thank you. The next question is also directed to Mr. Blackwell, and actually there are several, so I will ask them one at a time. How are the operator statements or instructions entered?
They are entered through a teletype, or they can be entered through the control panel that was shown in one of the slides, if that sort of operation is required. But of course, that's outside the context of any programming. So it's okay. Through the teletype or through a manual panel in that specific type of operation.
Next question, how much memory is required?
This depends, of course, on what sort of software you're going to use and what your applications are like. About 8,000 words is minimum core size for using the Fortran language. If you want to use assembly language, specialized software, then you can get away with somewhat less than that.
The next question, how many phases are involved in the compiling of operating instructions?
Well, in the case of the interactive compiler, there's the only thing that's necessary to do is enter the program and run. Again, this is dependent on the computer that's being used and the software.
Okay, the last question is, how are controls changed during a measurement?
I'm not quite sure what the intent of that is, but the controls can be... Most controls can be changed at any time, although this might not be desirable. I don't know, does the person who asked that question hear?
Okay.
Yes.
How does the program change the controls dynamically?
This can be done either step by step or with an assembly language subroutine.
Okay, now these are the questions that I have here in writing, and I would like to now open it up to questions from the floor, but keep in mind that I will have to repeat them for you, since we do not have a microphone that can be circulated. So, are there any questions now on any of the topics that were covered this morning by our four speakers? Yes, I see a hand there. I'm glad you asked, because I was going to ask the same. What is an anti-aliasing filter, aliasing filter, whatever?
So as not to bore the other people available, would you ask me that in private so I can have a piece of paper, a pencil, and a glass of beer while I answer that? It's the requirement of sampling theory. There's a process called a foldover that it's very complicated to try to describe without a piece of paper and a pencil, but I can describe with a piece of paper and a pencil in 2 minutes. Could we see you later? Okay.
There may be a crowd there, so you may have to buy the beer.
If there's a crowd there and they won't buy the beer, then I ain't going to be there.
Could we have other questions now on any of the four papers that were presented this morning? Okay, I have some more questions here. One which concerns the history of the intelligence and instrumentation, and I'll direct this to anyone who cares to pick up that question. I would like to know which of the instruments that came on the market could be designed or could be called the first instrument with true intelligence. I suspect that maybe we can find the answer from our panel here. Should we go from left to right?
Okay, I'll try to answer this one, because I think that computing counter was one of the first one, at least, which incorporated in hardware the mathematical process for the instrument. Maybe computer systems were used before, but I think that the computing counter is one of the first instruments which had built-in arithmetic unit, and which used that ability to make the measurement which was not possible before.
Is everybody satisfied with this answer, or is there another instrument that we don't know of that preceded this in intelligence? Okay, this is sort of an opening question for the next one, and we have had some inputs during the presentations here this morning, but I would like to pursue it a little bit further. And I know this is always a very tricky subject, a sticky subject with manufacturers, because naturally they would not like to tell the competition what they're up to. But even so, I'm going to ask the question, and it concerns the future of intelligence and instrumentation. Now, Mr. Hamilton has given us some ideas, but I would like to hear a little bit more from anyone on the panel who cares to tackle this. Where are we going in the future? Are the devices that are being manufactured now and on the market, I'm referring again to the mini processors, the final solution or the ultimate solution for putting intelligence into the instrumentation systems, or is there possibly something else which we don't know of yet that may come and replace all this? So anyone on the panel who would like to pick this up, please. You see, I told you that's a sticky one.
I think I will comment on that a little bit. Oh, I think it's right to assume that more of the processing is going to go into the instrument. And I think that central processors, which are on the market today, are good, but I think they are lacking a little bit to be really implemented in instruments. I think the semiconductors are good. Industry is going to realize that they have to produce a central processor which is really going to fit the needs of the instrument people. Here I may be probably a little biased to a smaller kind of processors, smaller instruments, not the computer systems, but something which is really built into the instrument. And I think, for example, a pretty simple processor, for example, 35 calculator architecture, is pretty suitable for that. And why suitable? Because you can enter the data into the unit by a command. And I can say that we will see some instruments in the future. I actually thought I could talk about them today, which are incorporated that simple structure. Okay, one would say, but you can use this only for simple processing because the speed is small. But I think many times in the instrument, you don't really need the speed. I mean, you need the speed to get the data, but then you can afford, at least in small instruments, some time to process it. So I think that there will be more instruments with that capability and probably with more dedicated units, like to collect the data, to process it, and the display maybe will be independent units there. But I think that we will see from the manufacturers that are going to provide us, semiconductors are going to provide us new units, which are strictly dedicated for the instruments.
Thank you. Before I go to Mr. Blackwell, let me insert a commercial here. This afternoon, at session 27, which is called Calculator-Based System, which I will chair, we're going to pursue this very aspect further because there, quite clearly, speed is not of the utmost importance. That is a calculator-based system session this afternoon. End of commercial. Now we'll go on to Mr. Blackwell and hear his views of the future in this situation.
Well, I agree that we're going to see a great deal more of this in the future, both the small dedicated processor internal to the instrument and also the general purpose processor. The exact direction is difficult to predict. It will depend on, to some extent, on technological breakthroughs and on manufacturing and production breakthroughs for circuits. But anything that is developed that has application in these areas is going to be used and implemented very quickly.
Thank you. Bruce Hamilton, please.
Okay, I'd essentially agree with the previous two. However, in looking at it, I think the session on microprocessors yesterday morning gave us a lot of clues as to directions. I don't see that any startling advances are going to be made in that area, but a gradual evolution, hopefully for more speed, and hopefully for a lot more of the functions on fewer chips. Right now it takes quite a few chips surrounding the so-called microprocessors in order for it to actually be applicable. Instrument designers, of course, don't like this, and I think the semiconductor industry will answer the requirements and begin to put more of the necessary functions on it. However, I'm not so sure that I agree with Francais that we'll get to calculator structures. There will be simpler structures, but as everyone tends to overbuy capability, I think we may see an overuse of capability in this area also, whereby larger word sizes and larger capability than is actually needed will be used simply to get the benefits of ease of implementation. When you have more capability than you need, you don't have to strain it quite so hard, and you don't have to wring the last ounce out of your components to get the product that you want.
Well, finally, we're getting some disagreement here in the panel, and I think that's a good sign we're getting somewhere now. So let's hear from our 35 months, 3 weeks, and 2 day man.
I think the days of the mini computer are about nearly gone in instrumentation systems, and they'll be substituted by semiconductor chips, which I hope will not have to be as dedicated as Francais implies, because economics would make that very, very difficult. For a calculator, fine, because I understand that certain manufacturers sell more than 10 or 15 per month. On the other hand, for the instrumentation systems that I think we're addressing and we're talking about, there will be what I call hidden computers. There'll be CPUs and registers and memories, and there'll be read-only memories and programmable read-only memories and all kinds of pieces of present mini computers hidden throughout the systems and less dedicated than I think Francais implies. He's used to very large volumes, apparently.
But I'm not per se used to large volumes, but I think the example I described of linearizing a transducer, I think you made one box and you can linearize quite a few transducers. And for that, I think you can afford to make a small calculator-like structure and really get it for the instrument out for decent price.
I have a feeling I should invite some of the members of this panel for my afternoon sessions too, because there might be some interesting ideas coming from that. Don't forget, in the meantime, to think up some of the questions for the panel. There's another question here.
Yes, I'd like to direct a couple of questions. One to Mr. Hamilton, Mr. Blackwell. It's interesting that you pointed toward microprocessors, but that you both use mini processors. Can you make any comment on that?
Well, that's a tough one to repeat, but the gist of the question is, you're preaching water and you're drinking wine. So, could you maybe talk about this situation?
I think some of the comments that that all of us make are directed toward the future and not the present. When we show a piece of equipment that is already in existence, by necessity, it has some history behind it. It goes back at least, say, a year typically or so. But that's one of the reasons there may be a difference between what we practice and preach. And in the particular case of the oscilloscope, the tremendous number of things that must be controlled and the type of computational capability that were needed at the time it was designed were really beyond the capability of existing microprocessors of the type such as Intel and so on. But now, of course, that situation will slowly be evolving and changing, and at some point, I'm sure a different structure might result.
I'd agree, essentially, except I disagree with Rudy. I thought I was drinking water and preaching wine, but maybe it was the other way around. We had the same problem. We had to use what was available. And as was indicated yesterday, I keep going back to this microprocessor session because I think it was quite pertinent in relation to intelligence instrumentation. The semiconductor people realize their problems. The surrounding chips are quite large in number. And also the turnkey system aspect isn't there. They don't have all the software support, all the nice features that you need in order to do a very clean, very fast design job using microprocessors yet. They're getting there. But there's still some impediments to design. If you're the kind of fellow who feels he can surmount these, then it's going to be okay. If not, then you may find that mini computers are a much quicker, easier way to get there. Likewise, when we began this project and developed this, there simply wasn't the capability on the market that there is now, and it just wasn't available.
Another question, yes?
Well, yeah, the one.
Excuse me. Was the question heard by everyone?
Oh, excuse me.
Yes. Okay. Then please proceed.
The 11445 is used primarily because by us because it's specified by somebody who wants to use it. In other words, it's not a question of need from our point of view. The 11445 adds very little to the performance of our machines because it's overpowered for what we're doing. We happen to use a mini computer, which was obvious from the pictures, the PDP-11, 05, 15, 35, or 45. One of those pictures also had a mini computer and three microprocessors in it. You just didn't see it. The microprocessors were doing certain arithmetic functions that they're capable of and suitable for doing, very narrow, not the kinds of things that I think these fellows are talking about. So we've used both.
Those microprocessors are, of course, located in the cables connecting the two. Are there any other questions?
Rudy, let me ask. Yes. Microprocessor means one millionth of a process. Is that right? Did I understand that correctly?
I've even heard the word nanoprocessors, but maybe that's where the future is. So I would like to encourage you to ask some questions concerning the future. Don't be afraid. If they don't want to answer, they won't. Any more questions here? Okay, I would like to point out something else. In both of my sessions, I have given the opportunity to all the participants to display, if they would like, an example of the system they are preaching. And we have one such example here this morning. There will be at least two more in the afternoon. And for those of you after this part of our session would like to get your hands on it and maybe ask more specific questions, at least on one of the systems, then you're welcome to do so. But I would like to get more questions. Yes, we have one here. Okay, it's a question of being uneasy with the concept of machine intelligence. And I'm assuming that you're not necessarily referring here to engineers, because they know there's really nothing behind it. But let the panel take over.
Do you mean that socially, like my daughter will never marry a computer? In other words, are we worried as human beings that the machine seems to be getting so intelligent that we begin to worry about our own capabilities? Is that what you mean? Well, that dog was intelligent, he just wasn't moral.
I think the question which we're laughing about here, rather the answer we were laughing about, it was the following. According to your definition, this was to Mr. Bruce Hamilton, according to your definition of intelligence, a watchdog that sends a stranger intruding upon his master's residence and attacks this stranger exhibits intelligence, since his decision to attack is based on the fact of a strange scent. So this is what started all that. Could we ask Bruce now to try and answer the question? Not the dog question, but the other one.
Okay, I'll try and answer maybe in a little different vein than Leo, since I think it might have been directed in a little different avenue than that. Yeah, very frankly, we do find some stigma associated with intelligence, mostly because the intelligence is in the form of a computer. There's definitely some reluctance or some fear, and that's, I think, kind of simple to analyze, mainly because you fear what you don't understand. And there's a lot of people who don't understand computers, so they fear them. I myself fear microwave circuits because I don't know that much about them. It's simply a fear of the unknown, I think, more than anything else. You must admit that computers have been given a little bit of bad light recently in terms of intruding upon your privacy. And, of course, we all know that the computer is the one responsible for all the errors and the bills that you get, the overbillings. The programmers, the humans involved, are not responsible. It's simply the computer. And this bad light, I think, has contributed to some of this fear with regard to computers. So I do see some of that. That's why I think all of us show computers, but we also show you a teletype, and we try to minimize that, mainly because your access and your operation with this instrument can be done in a quote-unquote high-level language, whereby you're talking to the teletype, so to speak, and you're rather ignoring the computer. It's the one doing the job. And in microprocessors, of course, one of the things that we can do is hide them, and you'll never have to know that they're there. So you can just enjoy the benefits and not worry about it.
I think the question is a very valid one, because the question of intelligence does strike at the very core of our human existence, and so it is one that should be considered. Mr. Blackwell.
I'll agree with what Bruce said there, and just add that the customer is sometimes not uneasy because the instrument is automatic. He's uneasy because he feels it may stop being automatic at some point, and he's not quite sure what to do about it when it happens.
Well, I don't think we have to worry about, because so far a computer didn't design himself yet. So I think that first you have some human intelligence before you can talk about some, don't call it intelligence in the instrument, call it decision making. So, but I think that computer can execute some instructions which you will teach him, but I don't think that computer can make the algorithms for you. You have to think about them.
However, the reason I did call this session intelligence and instrumentation was to provoke some of those thoughts, because it may only be a question of time before more people will feel possibly threatened by the fact that instruments or systems do make apparently human-like decisions. There's another question, yes.
Is it okay for an answer from the floor rather than a question?
Very definitely so. I would like to have this dual response. Thank you.
Just tell your customers not to worry, because Arthur Clarke says, when machines can
Very good input. Anybody else? Yes. So he programmed the dog to bite the stranger.
Right. So it is a decision maker.
That's correct. Yes, another answer?
People always say, well, humans have to program genes, but humans program themselves up from an amoeba to their present state. So machines are beginning to program themselves.
Do humans program themselves or their parents?
All one system.
At this point, we move into the philosophy department. Well, are there any other questions concerning any of the talks given this morning? If not, I would certainly like to point out again that if this kind of topic interests you, that you have another chance to hear about similar discussions this afternoon at 2:00 in the same room. And I would like to thank you for coming here and making it a successful session. Thank you very much. And don't forget, there's something here to look at.